With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ghost Hunting in New England.
Your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your host Amelia. Hi, it's me. How was everyone's Halloween? Was it spooky, crazy? Did anyone see any ghosts? Did anyone do any good ghost hunts? Was anyone around for a seance? Write in and let me know. I'm here right now on a Friday, November 1st. The veil is still thin. I'm excited to see what I find tonight when I go spook around in Cambridge. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're about to fast forward into the future, into Monday, where I have an awesome interview with medium Jamie Day. That might sound familiar to some of you, as we did speak with medium Jamie Day when we went and we investigated at Danvers State Hospital over the summer. But this is going to be a little more of a formal sit-down. Jamie's going to tell us all about different ghosts and spirits that she gets to see all the time through her work. We're also going to touch upon some other very interesting topics that Jamie loves to do, some of her workshops, things like that. I can't wait. I'm so excited. So let's strap on our seatbelts as we go right on into the future.
Whew! Oh gosh, that was a quick time travel. That was rough. But thankfully, I'm here with medium Jamie Day. We're up in Danvers. We're having a good time. And Jamie is currently tuning into spirit. So whenever you're tuned on in.
Okay. Thank you for having me again, first of all.
Of course.
Okay, so I'll give you my little spiel that I give everybody about how my readings work. I always like to kind of start with whatever I'm getting naturally on its own, and then I usually like to save some time, like halfway through. We can ask any questions that you want to ask. They could be of your spirit guides. It could be like psychic. They could be if you have a past loved one that you were hoping to hear from and they did not come through on their own, we can try at that point. Can't guarantee anything, because it's not up to me. It's up to spirit. But I always am happy to try for you. Some kind of, I don't want to say ground rules, that's like a strong word, but the way that I work, I know a lot of mediums will say, oh, only tell me yes or no, but I don't really work that way. I tend to be more conversational about it. I find that there's going to be plenty of evidence for you where you feel like you can trust that I'm really connecting. I find too that the spirits kind of, they get excited when you get excited. They like hearing that you're acknowledging what they're saying, that you understand what memory they meant or what they're referring to. And sometimes it can even kind of like morph and change and make better or more clear the vision that I'm seeing. So feel free to answer me. Some people sometimes get nervous to answer, but I don't mind. That's fine. That being said, if you'd rather only say yes or no, that's fine too. And as far as saying no goes, I want you to please be comfortable doing that. A lot of people will be like, no, I don't know what that means. I'm so sorry. It's okay. You don't have to be sorry. It actually helps me to hear no. If the answer is no, I want to know that it's no. Because sometimes when we first start out, it can be kind of jumbled or like I have to figure out who's who. Especially say, for example, grandmothers, like they blend together really almost seamlessly sometimes. So I have to really try and get them to separate. So please feel free to tell me no. If the answer is no, I'm not offended. It's fine. Give me 1 second to kind of tune back into it.
Okay. I'm so nervous.
Oh God. It's okay. Oh, and I left this part out, but I also doodle a lot and I like, you can't see if you're listening, but I have a big crystal in my hands and I fidget with it. It just kind of helps keep my conscious mind clear.
Which crystal is that?
This is celestite.
Ooh.
and it's good for communicating with spirits. And it's a nice light blue color, so which is the third eye color.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you. This one, I didn't even know what it was. I just was like drawn to it in Crystal Shop, and I got home, and it was like spirit communication.
Yeah,
I was like,
nice.
Well, there you go. Makes sense. Okay, so I always, before I do every reading, I kind of like meditate a little bit. I do what mediums call sitting in the power, which is really just kind of connect with like the energy of everything. At that point, I'll say like a prayer and ask your past loved ones and your spirit guides and everyone that's for your highest good, your ancestors, whoever, to come in and be with me. And at that point, I usually will start to get a little bit, not always as much as when we're face to face, but even just thinking of you, you know, energy is energy. In my walk in here, one of the things that I was getting was, I like blurry vision and I felt dizzy, and I get physical feelings usually first, and that's often attached to either an illness that the person had that was like significant in their life or maybe how they died. So I had dizziness. I had some nausea. Right now I feel really like hot and short of breath too. I feel like I have two separate. So I'm going to just try and like separate and figure out who's who. I feel like I have an older male. He feels father, uncle, maybe that generation, not like super elderly, or I guess it could be a young grandfather too, but not super elderly. But I also feel like I have an older woman. Do you have a grandmother that's passed?
I do.
Okay. All right. I feel like she wants to do this. I know you own a bakery. Do you feel like you got that from her? Was she a baker?
She was not. No. I do kind of feel her there with me though.
Sometimes. Okay. I just felt like it was like an immediate sense of like pride about it. Did you open it after she passed?
I opened my second one after she passed, but the first one she had really bad dementia, so I don't know if she kind of knew.
Okay.
But I do feel that's something she'd be very, very proud of.
Okay. That was like the immediate overwhelming feeling that I was getting, like she didn't want to talk to me. Is your grandfather passed too? Did he pass before her?
Yes.
Because I feel like she's talking about him being there. Actually, I wonder if anyone at any point thought that she saw him, because the way what I'm seeing right now is her kind of staring off into the distance, and the way that I see it is I can see his spirit on the other side of the room.
You know, on that side of the family, you know, I do have some psychic abilities. I did get it passed down from my grandmother, and one of the big things the women in our family get is we have very vivid dreams the night before people pass over.
Oh my God.
So I had one, and my older cousin Rachel had one that night. So the one I got when my grandmother was about to pass is my grandfather and grandmother were on this really beautiful, nice path, and they kind of jogged up to me. Mm-hmm. They were wearing kind of like really weird running clothes or something. And my grandfather said, "I need to take your grandmother home now."
Mm.
And my grandma said, "I'm really excited to go with them."
Oh my
And then they ran down the path together.
So whenever I get like confirmation from spirit, I get chills on my left arm.
Oh, cool.
So just know that, that you can see them.
Yeah, yeah, no, they're there.
Just know that that is confirmation from her. That please know that I mean, I know that you know that already, but please know that that was not just a dream. That was definitely a visit. Or like a psychic, whatever. But I think that was probably a visit gifted by your grandfather is what I'm hearing. Like those specific words. I feel like she wants to talk about what you said about like the feeling like being gifted. I feel, and this is kind of not really related to the grandmother, but it feels to me like that's something that you've had from a past life too. Not only is it, you know, inherited or whatever through the women in your family, but we travel together as soul families a lot. And I feel like I can see that you've traveled together before. And it's really funny. I feel like there's like a witchy connection.
I'm pretty witchy. Yeah. What I always say to people is I'm like a one-off.
I'm always cautious about saying that around here because Salem is up the street.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's like kind of a hokey thing to say. Like,
well, kind of, but like witch, I believe it.
Feel,
you know?
Yeah. I feel that way. For real. I feel that way. I actually feel like there was a nature and an animal element to it too. Not necessarily like you're a nature person who loves to hike or whatever, but it feels like using the elements.
Yeah. So I do a lot of that stuff at home, yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. And I keep, this is so stereotypical describing that, but I keep seeing a black cat too. So.
I don't have a black cat, but I have a really pretty kitty.
Do you?
I do. She's not all black, but she's great.
This black cat that I'm seeing, it feels like you, as the past life witch, though, like used it. Like it was part of
my familiar.
Yeah. So you can edit this out if this is like personal. You don't want this on here, but are you single? I feel like she's commenting on the fact that you're not.
Yeah, I'm very single. Married. Yeah, super not married.
I feel like she's teasing me a little bit about that.
Ha ha ha.
Like, then she's like, not, you know, not that you need a man, but like trying to like,
she can joke, but she could do something.
That's really funny. It's funny. I feel like she's still going back to the like gifts that your family has. She wants to talk about that. So I'm going with it. And I keep seeing it as this like, her hands are out and she's like opening her palms up, but it's like this crazy power that's like coming from her hands. And I keep hearing something about like rising up. So I feel like there's this message about wanting you to kind of grow into your gifts even more.
Okay.
I feel like she's encouraging me.
I can do that.
I'm pushing it. So I've done several readings where I've connected with people who passed from Alzheimer's, and I have kind of like a theory based on what they've shown me,
mm-hmm.
that it's sort of like a slow transition to the other side.
I agree with you 110%. I could not possibly agree with you more.
So it's like their soul, you know, maybe their brain is forgetful, but it's because their soul is already partly
yes.
in that other
yep.
world.
No, I totally agree. Because with my grandmother, there were times where she, I think I talked about it once on the show, where she would have like these outer body experiences, but she like had dementia, and then she'd like come back into her body and like tell me about it. And I totally believe that. I believe it's in the in between. Because also, before my grandmother passed, Beth and I are two of 13 Jeez. Grandchildren. And then there's like 8 or 9 great grandchildren at this point. So Beth had this big box of costume jewelry from my grandmother, and she gave it to me. She took out what she wanted, but she couldn't keep the whole box in her home. So she gave it to me. And I had it, and I went through it, and it ended up having, like, my grandmother's pendulum was in there.
Oh, my God.
Like, some rose quartz was in there, like, all this
that
stuff.
That gave me the chills
yes,
again.
And
shoot,
I,
that was meant
yes,
for you.
And
I'm hearing it, like, loud and clear.
I had told Beth when I found it, and she's like, I can't believe that was in there. I never saw that. And I believed 110%, even though my grandmother was in the hospital at that time, she was still physically here.
Yeah.
There was zero question in my mind. She wanted, out of everyone, she wanted me to have it.
Yeah. I feel that very strongly for you. And it was like, it was meant for you. And that's what I was hearing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you use it?
No. I look at it a lot. I hold it.
She wants it too. And I'm even seeing, what about tarot? Do you do tarot?
Yes. I used to read professionally.
Oh, wow. Did she?
I don't believe she did it professionally. She did it for a long time. She
did.
Did
she do tea leaves?
Yeah. She did everything.
I'm seeing
back
tea leaves.
In like the 70s. Yeah. I know she did a lot of astrology, a lot of tarot. She stopped doing tarot and all of it because she said her children weren't listening to her warnings and it was upsetting her too much to see the future.
I'm seeing like very clearly like a piece of, I don't know if it's like a cloth or some, like clothes or something she made, but I'm seeing like a piece of fabric that belonged to her. Using you, like this is her encouragement. This is
okay.
not like a
I have, I have things she's embroidered.
Okay.
Yes.
Using it as like a tarot or whatever card, whatever pendulum, anything. She wants you to use it as like a
yeah,
like
I
a
have,
sacred space.
I have
mat.
Table runners. She made,
and I'm
yeah.
seeing I'm seeing cards specifically, and she wants you to like call on her and use that as a way to connect with her.
All right, I can do that.
I feel like your grandmother came through really like she's the one that came through the most for you. Let me see if she has any like last messages for you, and then we can see if you. Or if there was anyone specific. Do you have like a project idea that you're wavering on or like hesitating on starting?
Oh, spoiler alert. I am working on another podcast that Aaron Shilb is already in the process of writing music for. And then I'm debating between whether I want to expand on my business or just do something totally different. And then I have a book idea.
Ooh.
So.
Okay, so I feel like she was advocating for something, saying just do it, but the way that it felt like there was something that you were nervous or hesitant about, and she wanted to tell you to go for it. So whichever one of those you feel most nervous about, okay, all right, hold on. Good luck with
me. Okay.
Specifically. Because now I'm hearing something about using your voice, which I when I'm seeing writing even. So now you have her encouragement.
Nice. Now I just gotta go write a book.
Jeez. No pressure. No pressure from your grandmother. Find a man and write a book.
Yeah,
no
right?
big deal.
Okay. Thanks, Grandma.
Okay. Do you have any questions or did you have any spirits that you were hoping to get from to knock into my own cousin?
Okay.
And it's funny too, I feel like she wants to talk about your shop too. Is it new since she's passed? Or has she never been there?
She never went to either.
In life. She's definitely been there in spirit. But in life.
We have had things happen that I might start crying if I talk about it too much.
I feel like she's like laughing.
We had a really, really serious problem that was going to cost me like tens of thousands of dollars that I did not have at the time.
Nice.
And I freaked out and I went downstairs to deal with this issue and I'm like hyperventilating. I have like my plumbers there, everyone. Like we had not even just the plumbers, like we had to have like the town come in and inspect stuff. So there were a lot of people and something in my head just said, it's done, hit the test button. And I slammed it and everything worked just fine. And yeah. No one knows why. And I walked back upstairs to my cafe and all of a sudden the song that played at her funeral came on and I just started like bawling.
Oh my God. I'm covered like,
in front of all these like worker men. And I'm just like, I'm just really excited that I don't have to pay all this money. I knew she was there.
Yes. At like 100%. I'm covered in chills. Also, I feel like you don't because I feel like the message is that you should. Is there something like a little tchotchke for her in the cafe somewhere? I'm seeing like a tiny little something like up on a shelf, kind of just tucked away.
On top of my bakery case, I have a jar and I have it labeled pennies from heaven because I believe
she leaves me
little pennies everywhere. And I always stick it in the jar and I always tell everyone who works for me, that is not a change jar.
Yeah.
Do not touch it. And it's just where I like, and like whenever it's there, it's like, oh, okay, she's with me. Like, all right.
Yeah, that's totally her. Wow. And she specifically said she wants you to know that she feels light and free now.
Good. Because I do need to know that. Thank you. You're one of the only people I've ever been able to connect with.
Oh.
So I really appreciate that. All right. Well, cool. That was awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that. Good reading. That was great.
What else are we going to talk about?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. So when you get into that space, when you start your readings, like how do you get there and how do you know you're there?
When I was first coming into my mediumship, I didn't always have like an on and an off. And I discovered quickly that that was something that would be very important to me because I can tell you one time I was dead asleep in the middle of the night and my sister-in-law, my husband's sister, who also happens to be my best friend in the whole world. She also happens to be my assistant now.
Oh, wow.
But this is before any of that. Before the assistant thing. I was just starting to kind of, I don't know if I had even really talked to anybody about it. I told her before I told my husband. Her father-in-law, her husband's father, had just died. And so I had asked her that day if she would mind asking her mother-in-law if I could practice on them sometime. And he came to me in the middle of the night mm-hmm. and woke me up and said, knock, knock, it's Dave, like loud as hell in my room. And so I had to wake up in the middle of the night and do a reading. Like I just typed everything he told me on my phone in the notes.
Wow.
And then I texted her in the morning and I was like, so Dave woke me up last night. Here is what he said. And, you know, everything was really accurate. I like named plants that they have in their house. Like he was like, this plant is ugly that you bought. Like
yeah.
It was just really funny, like little stuff. You know, it's always good when you're first practicing and you're first starting out when things are like accurate. But, so that made me feel good. And that was one of the things that like helped me keep going. But since then I have learned that I don't want to be woken up in the middle of the night by spirits.
Yeah. You gotta set those boundaries.
Like, I might have mentioned this even last time I was on, but I, for a long time, when I first was coming into this, I drive past Denver State, that little mm-hmm. back road through the cornfields, on my way to my day job at the dance studio. I work like a few hours a week at a dance studio, and I always would cut through And I had to stop because I would hear people crying.
Oh, wow.
I would see things.
Yeah.
And so I've had to work really hard to learn to turn it on and to turn it off. So one of the ways that I've done that is I have asked Spirit to help me develop like a physical sensation and like a physical signal that I'm like connected.
Yeah.
So I always kind of like meditate a little and get in the zone. And usually if I'm doing a reading and you see me close my eyes, that's actually me trying to go a little deeper and trying to get the connection like a little stronger. If I'm staring off into space, it's because I'm listening or like watching as a message is like coming in.
Yeah.
So the like physically, the way that I personally feel it is it actually feels almost a little like high, which is such a weird thing to say.
No, that,
but I feel
that,
very
yeah,
like floaty, spacey. Mm-hmm. And I also often will see a flash of white light at my third eye. Like when I connect, that's almost like my, okay, you're on. That's like, for me, that's like my on signal. And then after I do a reading, I always like say a little prayer to release whoever. So we can go about my business.
Cool.
But I have to be careful because, like, I don't even like to meditate after I've had any wine because, like, I like my wine. I like my wine. Nice glass of white wine at night.
Okay.
And
I'm
I have
you.
To be careful. Like, I like to meditate myself to sleep a lot, and I have to be careful if I've been drinking because alcohol, as we know, lowers our inhibitions, and therefore it lowers your boundaries. And that's when I have, like, shadow people show up in my room, uninvited ghosts. Mm. I, for like 2 weeks, had, this actually still gives me the creeps even to talk about it. I'm hoping talking about it doesn't invite her back in. I'm not to sage smudge tonight. But I had this woman that she must have died in like a horseback riding accident, but she on a horse would circle my bed at night, just around my bed in circles. And whenever I would try and talk to her, she wouldn't answer me. She would just turn and I would see she had a big like hole in the back of her head.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Like I think she must have hit her head. And I've asked about it and I don't know, like I've never figured out who it was, but I do know there was some kind of like someone I know that works with horses had said, oh, no, actually a friend of mine died. It kind of sounds like her, but they weren't like close enough for me to reach out or anything. But maybe it was probably this woman. I don't know. But
wow.
I have had a couple of incidents that have come to me in my bed. It's always as I'm falling asleep that I've figured out the next day. Like I've posted about it and then got a message that said, oh yeah, that was my person. Or, oh yeah.
Oh wow.
This happened.
That's wild. That's really wild.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of mediums work very differently.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they'll kind of just see with their third eye. Mm-hmm. A lot of people hear, but then some people see like full body apparitions of people coming.
Yeah.
So do you work kind of within all of those or one or the other?
So there are two different ways that you can perceive your clairs. So like clairvoyance is the clear vision that you're seeing, or like clairaudience is when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it subjectively or objectively. Subjectively is like when I hear the voices in my head, when I see in my mind's eye, like a vision. It's almost like the way that you recall a memory, like when you see it and you can picture the details, it's like in your mind's eye. And then there's objectively, which is when like I see a person in my room, or I hear a voice physically in my ears if it was in the room with me.
Yeah.
And those are for me much fewer and farther between.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually subjective. I can tell you that the objective stuff, especially the shadow people in my room, which I'm not a fan of, those are usually like if I've been drinking or if I'm really, really exhausted, tired. In this, but I always, my entire life, I've had an adult man yell my name. Jamie! Like that. Like,
oh, wow.
And I can't even tell you, growing up, I would constantly go running to my dad and be like, what? What happened? Am I in trouble? Like, what did I do? Like, has woken me up from the dead sleep.
Mm.
And so I get that still to this day all the time. And then since I've had kids, the other one that I get is Mama. Somebody cries Mama.
Oh.
And I go and I run and I tuck on my kids and they're asleep.
Yeah.
And it started happening like before my daughter could even talk.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I knew it wasn't her. That one creeps me out a little. I remember there was one time I was on a train and I was so tired. We'd spent the weekend in New York and it was like, I barely slept. And someone was just whispering my name over and over in my ear, but like in such a way that I could like feel the breath. kept looking at the guy behind me, like, giving me the creeps.
Yeah. Oh, that's spooky. That's very spooky. During my reading, you brought up spirit guides. And how would you say, how do you differentiate, like, how do you know when you hear that person talking in your ear saying your name over and over again, or the man yelling at you? Like, how do you differentiate something like that from, like, a spirit guide?
Well,
or what do you feel is a spirit guide?
I mean, I think we all have a team of angels, ancestors, past loved ones, can be animals. You can have spirit guide animals, like, that are all around us all the time. And their only mission for being with us, they've been, like, assigned to us to help us feel good, to help us get what we want, to help us fulfill our soul's purpose. Because given this line of work, I now fully 110% believe in reincarnation as, like, yeah, in my opinion, it's like fact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you come into your present life with missions that you're supposed to achieve and things you're supposed to learn and goals that you have. And not everybody does it. And that's okay. You just go and you try again in your next lifetime. But they're there to help guide you on that path so you can learn the lessons, so you can move on, you know, and not have to repeat those things or have your spirit evolve before the next life. So I think that spirit guides are people who have evolved greatly and are now given, like, that job as opposed to having to reincarnate.
Okay. And let's say you just want to know what your life lesson is. Like, I would like to know what mine is, for example.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like I could just work on it, bang it out, my life's great, and then I can move forward.
Yeah.
Like, are there ways people can do that?
So connecting to your intuition, I would say, connecting to your spirit guides, that was probably one of the most important things that I did in developing my own gifts and my own mediumship. Is developing a relationship with my spirit guides. We have a bunch, and a lot of them are kind of for different things.
Okay.
You can also have angel, you know, and archangels that are around you that you're not the only person they work with. They go for multiple people. For me, my thing was I really wanted to connect to, like, my primary spirit guide. And so I started by doing spirit guide meditations on YouTube, like just free ones, listening to them.
Okay.
And in those meditations, you know, they take you through some stuff where you see and meet your spirit guide. Maybe they take you through some ways to learn their name. And I've actually taught workshops on that where I've been the person doing the guided meditation. And my tips during that, if you're in a meditative state, you can ask your spirit guide to reach out and touch you and ask whatever. Don't dismiss the sensations that you're feeling. Like, maybe it'll be a tingle on your arm. Maybe it will be a chill up your spine. Maybe, you know, your palms will be hot and sweaty, something like that. Ask them to touch you, and then that'll be kind of like your signature from them. Ask for them to do that. And then you can also try asking them for their name. That's another good thing. And you just go with whatever the first thing you hear is, no matter how weird it is. And when I do spirit guide readings for people, as opposed to, like, past life, I mean, as opposed to, like, mediumship, past loved ones, a lot of the times, you know, the spirit guides will tell me their names and I'll be like, that's a weird name, but okay, I'll say it. There's been times where I've looked it up and it's like an archangel already exists. Or, like, I did a reading for a friend not that long ago where I saw this beautiful woman, like, kind of floating on earth, and she looked like floating above, and she had these bell-sleeves, dress with bell sleeves, and she had like animals all around her. She just looks like this, like, earth mother goddess. And then I was listening to a Gabby Bernstein audiobook, and she was talking about the archangels. And the second she was describing Ariel, I was like, holy crap, that's what I saw.
Wow.
And so I Googled.
Yeah.
And the picture looked exactly like what I saw. I sent it to my friend, and she was like, oh my God, that's crazy. That's exactly what you said. That makes so much sense for me. Like, the descriptions of her. Really resonated with her. So don't dismiss anything, no matter how weird it is, because it may be someone that,
yeah,
maybe an angel that exists, it may be one of your ancestors.
So for me personally, I don't know a lot about my spirit guides, but I feel like there is an Emily who's always around me. I don't know if she's a spirit guide or an angel, but I've always thought that's a weird name. Like, that's my, like, a guess, unique, like, name,
yeah,
for, like, a spirit guide. Like, Emily, what?
I think she's probably one of your spirit guides. And a lot of the times, too, I find when I do spirit guide readings, I find that our spirit guides are connected to us because of past lives.
Okay.
Like, they were connected to you in a past life. Maybe it was your mother, and she wants to take care of you now, you know, in this form, or maybe it was, you know, various things. So what I would do then is, do you meditate?
I do.
I would meditate and call to her.
Okay.
Specifically, by name, and don't discount. The truth of it is, they don't care what you call them.
Okay.
They tell us names for our comfort. You know?
Yeah.
Names don't really matter.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And while we're kind of on the subject of this, I want to talk about something else.
Yeah.
That I am so into right now. So into. Can't even tell you how into it I am right now. This is my life. Everyone in my life thinks I'm a lunatic because I keep talking about being in the vortex.
Guaranteed I won't.
And I'm like, I am in the vortex. This is where I am.
I know exactly who that is.
So I am very much into the law of attraction. So into it. Law of attraction changed my life. I tell everyone about it. People say, how did you open a brick and mortar business when you were 26? And I tell them. I listened to
manifested it.
I manifested it. I listened to this book. Asking is given. By Jerry and Esther Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was managing multiple juice bars at the time. And every time I had to park my car, I would write down in a little app on my phone, people find me successful in business. I am successful in business. Money flows to me. People want to help me, all this stuff. I did it over and over again. I did it for this thing. It was called Manipura that I was working on at the time.
Hmm.
And I thought that that's what I was trying to manifest. And 3 weeks later, I got my first brick and mortar business.
Oh,
I invested $200 into it.
Holy crap.
Like, when I say that. And so then, when that business, unfortunately, when I had to part from my business partner, I had to open a new one. And I hope I'm not giving too much away to my listeners right now, but I signed paperwork. So I had my store. I knew I had to get rid of it. I knew I needed a new store. I said, I'm going to find a new store next week, and this is what it's going to be, and it's going to be fine. And I just knew I was going to. I didn't worry about how it was going to happen. And I didn't get it. But I knew I was going to get this store. And then 2 weeks after that, the current owner called me, said the other person dropped out. They want to give it to me. I said, great. I signed paperwork to give them legal, this is a legally binding business. This isn't like cute 27-year-old Amelia just having fun. This is like big girl, legally binding stuff to give them a lot of money in 30 days that I did not have. And I did not know how I was going to get it. And I just, again, I used law of attraction. I would write stuff down. And I said, this is what's going to happen. And it's going to be fine. I got all the money in 1 week without asking a single person for anything. I did not ask one person for any money that I got. So I believe in law of attraction. And then, you know, but it's one of those things where, like, you believe in it, right? And then you get what you want. And then, like, for me, I just, like, go back to being a crab apple. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm like, great, I got what I want. Now I'm freaking stressed out. Do I even want any of this? Like, whatever. And then, like, everything starts to fall off again. But, like, now I'm like, no, like, I'm in the vortex. Anyway, I feel like I'm talking a lot about the vortex, and we haven't explained to anyone what it is or why this has to do with spirit guides. But, so law of attraction, asking is given, is, like, putting stuff out there. And how that came to be is these people, Jerry and Esther Hicks, channeled this non-human
collective consciousness.
Like non-physical collective consciousness that calls itself Abraham. So what do you know about non-physical collective consciousness?
So I'll tell you, when I was first like developing and coming into all of this, I heard about Abraham Hicks and I was like, that's a bit much for me. I don't know about all that. But then I listened to it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, okay, whatever she's saying, this Esther, it's her voice, because she's the one channeling, whatever Esther is saying is valuable, regardless of where it's coming from. So let me just listen to it and give it a chance. And now when I talk to my students about it, that's how I describe it. I'm like, if you hear it and you're like, that's a little out there for me, that's too much, don't worry about that part of it. Just listen to this woman's lovely, soothing voice and take in her wealth of wisdom. But I can tell you that I believe anything is possible at this point in my career.
Yeah.
You could tell me, like, I don't even know, that there's an alien on my front lawn right now and I should go home.
Yeah.
to see the alien, and I would be like, okay, I'll go. Like, I believe everything.
I mean, you'd at least check.
Yes.
You'd at least check.
I would.
Right, so that's...
I'd actually probably call my husband. Can you just see if there's an alien in the
room? Right, like... and I'm kind of the same way. Like, you know, obviously with this podcast, I'll do anything. Like, anyone send me a story, I'll always believe it. Like, you never have to worry about judgment.
Yeah.
But, like, with Abraham Hicks... That's something, like, I always tell people, because, like, I always tell my story and how, like, I've utilized their method, if you will, which is the same method in The Secret. And I'm like, at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, all you're doing is being happy.
Right. Yeah.
Like, all you're doing is being happy. Yes. So, like, yes. It doesn't matter. But, like, how do people channel entities like that?
So I actually, my grandfather, his brother was, a trance medium, which again, I did not know any of this until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And so I guess now my dad is adopted, so this isn't something that I like inherited by blood, but I was clearly sent to my grandparents for a reason. After my dad and my aunt would go to bed, they would have a few friends over and he would meditate or whatever. And his spirit guide, who was a Native American man, would take over his body. And then the spirit guide would give the mediumship messages. So everything he said was as this Native American man.
Wow.
What I do is in many ways a form of channeling.
Like, for sure. Yeah.
I hear accents. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll talk with my hands in a way that I don't normally do. I'll say things that I wouldn't normally say. My favorite is when the spirit has a potty mouth and I'm like swearing up a storm in the middle of a reading. I'm like, I'm supposed to be a professional right now. They're like, that's okay. That's what my dad would say. So yeah. And you can do automatic writing too. That's a way for anybody to channel. Have you ever done that?
I've never successfully done that.
So for anybody who doesn't know what that is, the way that I do my automatic writing is I will meditate for a little while, get in a nice relaxed state. I will call on my spirit guides or, you know, whoever wants to guide me. But I always make sure that I say guides of the highest truth or my highest good, or I like to say highest truth and compassion, to make sure that they're beautiful, loving, light energies that are going to come through me. And then, now, mind you, I'm already in like a nice meditative, nice warm fuzzy state. My vibration is already kind of raised, which you can do if you're not someone who meditates a lot. You can do that by listening to your favorite music or just rapidly listing a bunch of things that you're grateful for, like really truly grateful for. And then I just write. And even if it starts out as my grocery list, like you just write whatever comes through in your mind. And you'll know that you're kind of channeling when the words start to not sound like you, when your handwriting gets really disastrous because your hand's moving so fast, like your brain is like blah, 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 and your hand can't keep up. That's one of the signs for me that I know I'm like kind of channeling. Yeah, and it's definitely, I always tell my students, it's definitely not something that's just going to happen to you the first time you try and do it. It's like anything else, it's a practice, and you have to keep trying it. And the more you do it, the smoother.
Nice.
But that's a way that anybody can show.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. Good advice. Do you have any workshops coming up?
I do. So on Monday, which is November 11th, I have a home energy clearing workshop. It's at a real estate office. So if anyone is also interested in house shopping or, you know, it's for anybody. It's not just for the real estate clients, but for people who want to make the energy of their home clean like you would clean it physically, right? So I'm sure everybody has heard of like sage smudging and sage. It's kind of like all the rage. But there's so much more than just sage. And sage is problematic in like several ways. So I want to teach about all the other ways, how you can use crystals, how you can use feng shui, how you can literally clean your physical environment to clean the energy of your environment. So all different kinds of ways to kind of help clear the energy of your home so that you can bring in more prosperity, you can bring in more happiness, more joy, more abundance, all that kind of stuff. And then, let's see, on November 24th, I have a workshop that we're calling, my friend Lara thought of the title, and I think it's so cute. It's called Heart Forward, Bottoms Up. And it is yoga and meditation at a brewery. Bottoms up.
Fun. I do get that. That's cute. That's so awesome.
If you go to my website, you can buy tickets with or without a beer included.
Cool.
And it's at Gentile in Gentile. I've heard it pronounced both ways from their staff. So yeah, that's in Beverly, Mass. And let's see. I think the next official one that I have coming up after that is on December 21st. I am doing
my mom's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm doing a yoga and meditation for the winter solstice. So we're doing it at a yoga studio in Beverly, and we're gonna have tea, and it's gonna be just nice and cozy, and we'll talk about the winter solstice and how to use that to your metaphysical advantage. And that is inspired because over the summer we did all these full moon yoga and meditation workshops on the beach, as the sun was setting and the moon was rising. They were beautiful and amazing. And then summer ended, and they ended, and everyone was sad. People were like, please do more. So
I'm sad. I didn't even go to one, but I wanted to. Are you going to do it again next summer?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll be there. I just bought a new yoga mat today.
There you go.
I'm already ready. Okay. Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciated this.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I feel bad, after the questions. So, you know, the medium reading you gave me was an hour. You guys at home aren't hearing that whole hour. But
personal.
Pretty personal. And it was just very emotional. And thank you so much for connecting me with my grandmother, and especially with my late cousin.
Thank you for the cookies. She brought me cookies.
Of course, yeah. She got a whole bunch of cookies and stuff from my store. And this is great. And
thank you.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I gotta go time travel back to Friday now.
Okay.
So here I go.
Bye.
Gosh, isn't she great? That was so much fun. I had a really great time. Thank you so much, Jamie. And just as a reminder, you can always contact Jamie on her Instagram, Facebook at Medium Jamie Day, or on her website, mediumjamieday.com. She even has a really interesting blog on there, something you might remember from last week's episode. We read one of her stories off of it. So please go and be sure to check her out and all of her events coming up. She's such a cool lady, and I'm so, so happy that she's become such a good friend of our show. Okay, and now it's time for Drive-By Ghostings. We have two this week. Without any further ado, I would like to just jump right in. So our first story comes from Josh. Hi, Beth and Amelia. Oh, I'm sad. No more Beth. I love, love, love your podcast. Although I'm technically not from New England, my family would vacation out in Boston and Kennebunkport, Maine, almost every fall. I remember looking at the wedding cake house, staying at the Sawmont Inn, thinking I saw a ghost of Paul Revere at the Old North Church, having a heavy feeling while in Salem, and my favorite hockey team is the Boston Bruins. Hey, mine too. I miss the old garden. I have always been fascinated and open to the paranormal world, and before I dig into the stories, I am a normal male in my mid-40s. Yeah, I'm old. It's not that old. Who grew up in an old town 30 minutes east of St. Paul named Stillwater, Minnesota, right on the St. Croix River. Founded in 1848 before Minnesota was recognized as a state, this place was a poster child for historic places with an old prison and Native American battle sites, just to name a few things. If you have ever seen the movies Beautiful Girls and Grumpier Old Men, that's my hometown. I have not heard of either of those, but hopefully some of you listening have. I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. I'm an adopted Korean male who has seen ghosts and UFOs. Not at the same time, but wouldn't that be something? With my adopted mother. I find it weird that it's only the two of us who have seen things, but maybe it's because no one else was home at the time. Anyways, in 1985, I was in fifth grade. We had just moved to Stillwater and lived north of town on a 10-acre hobby farm. One night near dusk, my mom was working in the garden in front of me while I was shooting baskets on the pavement. Our long gravel driveway was in front of my mom, and I noticed someone coming down the driveway. I asked my mom who it was since I hadn't met anyone yet, and she thought it was the neighbor girl saying hi. As she approached us, I noticed that she was in period dress, wearing a long blue dress and had long hair. She was carrying books attached by a strap and brown boots. She looked about my age. The thing is, I could see right through her. And she was not leaving any footprints in the gravel, but hovering over it. She kept staring straight ahead and passed right by us as if we weren't even there, residual ghost, and walked past the barn into the back field and disappeared. My mom and I looked at each other and said, "Did you?" And she said, "Did you?" And with that, I took off into the house, locking my mom outside. There was an old settlement in the back field near the river, and our house, across the street, was the old Arcola school house from the 1800s. She must have been walking home. From then on, I would turn every light in the house and grab my dad's machete whenever I was home alone, especially when my dogs and cats would be staring at whatever was in the corner of the room that I couldn't see. Now, for the UFO. Again, only seen with my mom for some reason. During one summer night of my senior year in high school, I was waiting for my girlfriend to get off work and come over, so it was about 8 p.m. My mother was outside on the patio with the dogs sitting in a chair looking at the stars when she told me to grab the binoculars and check out what was on the horizon on the Wisconsin side of the river. I looked. And right above the horizon was what looked like a small hot air balloon rising up from the ground. I just thought it was a weather balloon because I could see it was being propelled by flames up into the balloon itself. As we continued to watch, she outside, I'm now inside looking out the big bay windows, when the balloon turns into a solid green-colored triangle. The green was the piercing color of green go on a stoplight. It quickly rose into the clear sky and then broke into three smaller green triangles. My jaw dropped. The three triangles then proceed to do these weird patterns in the sky, zipping from one end of the sky into the other in seconds. This went on for 20 minutes, and then, without warning, it reformed into the solid green triangle, then back into the balloon shape, and then it disappeared. Then, my girlfriend Julie arrived to see us hysterically recanting the story. Finally, I was a camp director with the YMCA for 20 years, and the last camp I worked at was west of Minneapolis on Lake Independence. It was a smaller camp, only 40 acres, but it had a deep history of being built on Native American land, so I was told. One of the cabins, Blackfoot, happened to be Cabin 13, and I heard wild stories about that particular cabin from former and current staff. Remember, after seeing what I saw growing up, I totally believed it. During summer camp, I was told by a counselor staffer that a girl with long dark hair would be standing at the foot of the campers' beds at night. Yeep. A couple of incidents while I was there piqued my memory, but there were so many more. In the fall and spring, camp was a conference center. There was a local private school that had held retreats there for over 40 years. In my last year there, I was hosting them and making sure all of the cabins were good to go. One of the security guards accompanied them to the camp and was staying alone in Blackfoot. The next morning at breakfast, I see him, and he's as white as a ghost and didn't look like he had slept. I asked him if he was okay, and he said, "Josh, I need you to believe what I'm about to tell you. Last night, when I was falling asleep, I saw two dark shadows cross the room in front of me, and I heard a low, slow whisper, 'Get out,' and heard scratches on the furnace next to me. I'm a 60-year-old man who's seen a lot of things, but I slept with the light on that night." After breakfast, I went and looked at the furnace, and there were three long scratches in the newly replaced furnace metal. In the winter months at camp, living there alone, I had my 9-year-old yellow lab Indy there with me, thank God. It would freak me out when we would walk at night near the Blackfoot cabin. One night, when I was the only one there, we were on a walk near the summer office with Blackfoot cabin directly to my right, about 30 feet away, when the hairs on Indy's back go straight up, and he is staring at the cabin now in an aggressive stance. I turn and look to see the lights of the cabin flicker on, off. I know the doors of the building are locked and there are no footprints in the snow on the path. I freaked out and hauled butt, nearly beat my own dog back to the house. There are more stories to tell another time. Thank you for creating such a safe space for all of us to share our stories. Keep up the great work and keep the stories coming. Josh. Well, my goodness. Thank you so much, Josh. Those were all great stories. And you are our first person to write in from Minnesota. Cool. Thank you so much. And it's interesting, too, because you said you and your mother saw a UFO together. And when I was 16, me and my mother saw a UFO together. So I grew up in, obviously, New England, but I grew up in a little town on the south shore of Massachusetts. And we're right outside of a place called the Bridgewater Triangle. And the Bridgewater Triangle is known for all kinds of crazy paranormal activity, but very specifically UFO sightings. So my mother and I were driving to my friend's house. I remember this so clearly. And we're driving down Summer Street in Norwell. And we look up, and there is this giant, unbelievably huge aircraft in the sky, not that high up over the trees. And it's about the size of a football field. And there are all these insane lights on it. And my mom slows down the car. We stop, and we're just staring at it. And we're like, "What? I don't know what to do." And I am shocked. I'm 16. And I was one of those 16-year-old girls who, you know, didn't really get along with their parents. I had, like, the crazy red hair. And I was so thankful to have my mom in that moment because I was freaking out. And she kind of started freaking out, too. And we're just staring at it, and we're like, "Oh, my God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do?" And we decided to keep driving. And we're like, "Do we call the police?" And my mom's like, what are we going to tell the police?" And we're like, "What, we're seeing an alien aircraft?" So we drove. And we drove probably, like, 2 miles down the street. And at this point, it's a really wooded area, so we can't see the aircraft beyond the trees anymore. And we decide, okay, because we're like both kind of adventurous ladies. We're like, "Let's drive back and see if we can see it again." So we drove back and it was gone. And I'm telling you, this thing was the size of a football field. It was huge. It is an awesome experience I got to share with my mom. So I'm so happy for you because I know what that's like to have that experience with someone. That you and your mom also got to see a UFO together and a full-bodied apparition like that. That's crazy. God bless you guys. Oh, that's very frightening. And thank you so much for writing in, as always. Okay, so next, I have a drive-by message from Jennifer Knapp, who is so kind and recorded herself telling the story. So we're going to play it right now.
Hi, my name is Jen, and I grew up in the city of Newburyport, Massachusetts, which was settled in 1635. It has a rich history of activism and involvement in abolitionism and contributors to the Underground Railroad. High Street in Newburyport is littered with gorgeous mansions, some built as far back as the 1600s, and my story takes place in one of those mansions. In high school, I had a friend who lived in this beautiful mansion on High Street. It was located right near the high school. And we would often spend time in her house up on the third floor. The attic had been renovated into a sort of media room, TV, and there was a sofa bed that we would often have slumber parties up there. Situated up on the third floor also was her stepfather's office. So when you went up the stairs to the attic, when you got to the top, on the left was the office, and on the right was the sort of den that we would spend many, many nights in. When I first started going to her house, I mean, when you look around, the house is just beautiful, stunning. It actually had been featured in Better Homes and Gardens. By normal standards to the eye, it was just a sight to behold. I always had this sort of pit feeling in the house, and it just didn't feel right. And I always was sort of sensitive to houses and buildings and spaces if they had a sort of energy to them, whether good or bad. I rarely talked about it because it seemed weird to me. No one else seemed to feel that way. So anyway, after a couple years of friendship and spending the night at her house, I started to sort of mention it, and she was all about it. You know, she said that she thought her house was haunted. She told me, you know, a few stories where things would just randomly go missing, like a pair of pinking shears. You know, and she would get in trouble because her mom thought that she had lost them, and she knew for certain she hadn't touched them. And then eventually they would appear like in the couch cushions of the office up in the attic. Weird stuff like that. But one night we were there, it was her, myself, and another friend, and we were spending the night, and we were up in the attic den area, and we decided it would be a good idea to make some prank calls on the phone. This was in the 90s, so, you know, we had limited entertainment. So anyway, we're sitting there. We were situated in such a way that I was sitting next to my friend, and the girl who lived in the house was sitting facing us. We were sort of in a little circle around the phone. And my friend who lives there, her back was to the doorway of the den, which was also directly across from the doorway to the office. So you could just see straight through from one room to the next across the hallway. And of course, to get downstairs from there, you had to go toward the office and then down the stairs. So we're sitting there, and I look up over her shoulder, and I see in the office doorway this white figure, I guess. It sounds so cliche, but it was all white. It was in the shape of a human. It didn't have any specific features. It was somewhat see-through-ish, like a sheer curtain, but I really only saw it briefly, and it moved across the doorway in the office, inside the office, from left to right, and went directly into the wall and disappeared. So it was as if it was walking across the room and then just walked right into the wall and disappeared. Now, I said nothing, but I was staring up because I was shocked. And my friend who lives there, who was facing me with her back to this whole scenario, looks at me and says, "What?" Because she could see that my face, you know, and then she looks at my friend who's sitting next to me, and she says, "What?" to her. So, of course, I look over at my friend, and she looks at me, and we both have this terrified look on our faces. And I said, "What did you see?" And I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to give any suggestive images. I wanted her to say exactly what she saw. She described exactly what I had seen. She described it exactly the same way I had seen it. It was a white figure. It moved from left to right across the doorway and went in through the wall. So you can imagine how scary it was for us three 14-year-olds to realize that we had just seen what I believe was a ghost. And we wanted to get out of there. We were terrified, but we had to go closer to the office in order to leave, which was the scariest part of the whole situation because, you know, we ran to the doorway, but you don't want to bumble and fall down the stairs. So we had to be somewhat careful and slow when we really just wanted to scream and run. And so we did. We all together huddled as quickly as we could toward the door, hoping that we wouldn't see anything in that office, which was, of course, dark in there, and ran down the stairs and got as far away from that attic as we possibly could. and luckily, we didn't see anything in the doorway while we were leaving. I do have another incident that happened in that same house, but I'll send a separate voice message with that one in case you want to do them separately. But thank you for listening, and I hope that you liked my story, and I think you guys are great, and I love that you are doing stories specific to New England, because I grew up there, and I know that there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of stuff, so I think that you guys are great, and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. That was awesome. That was a really good story, and thank you. And yes, we love telling stories out of spooky, spooky New England. And I am going to play your second recording on next week's episode, give everyone something to look forward to. So thank you guys so much for sending those in. please, please, please continue to send us your drive-by ghostings. I know Daniel down in Australia is on his way to sending us even more, so that's something else we can all look forward to in the future. And for 5-star reviews this week, we got 2. The first is titled, "You Guys Are Wicked Awesome," from Jen K. Thanks Bye. "I love you guys' focus on New England and, more importantly, my lovely home of Massachusetts." Well, you are so welcome, because that is our lovely home too. And the next one is, "Love These," from Lauren A. Elizabeth, or Lorena Elizabeth. Man, that probably makes more sense. "Love learning about local history and the spooky happenings. My favorites." Well, thank you so much. Those were really great, very encouraging, and I love, love, love the support. Thank you guys so much. It honestly means the world. Next, I received a movie trailer titled "The Goshen Ghoul Trailer" from Mike from Arizona, formerly from New England. It is a local horror movie. It's set in Massachusetts. Mike's friend John did the score for it, and the trailer looks awesome, so you can all go check that out on YouTube. It is "The Goshen Ghoul Trailer" by the Sturrow Drive Nighthawk is the name of the YouTube account, so feel free to go check that out there. We also received some other mail. If you look on our Facebook, Daniel from Australia sent us a hilarious video, so please go like us on Facebook and check that out. Jen Knapp, who we just heard from a few minutes ago, also said, "Listening to your Lighthouses in Maine episode, and I'm dying over Beth's opinion on Maine. I grew up in Mass, but now live in Maine, and I could not agree more with that." Well, thank you so much, Jen, and I'm sure Beth appreciates that a lot, too. From Bryce, "Awesome episode, guys. You're the only podcast I've listened to that has gone over the origin of Halloween. Very informative. Keep up the good work, and happy Halloween." Well, gosh, Bryce, that's so sweet of you. Happy Halloween to you, too. Oh, and I forgot, too, Jen had also mentioned to us that she almost never misses 11:11 on the clock. Guardian angel activity, perhaps? Well, you know what, Jen? Since we started this, since I put out stuff about numbers on our episode with Tim Regan, people actually talk to us about this a lot. So what I'm going to do, because you know, we have all of our little bonus episodes I've started doing now, I'm going to do one on numerology. I have a few different numerologists who have already reached out who are interested in being on that episode, so I just want to kind of figure out exactly what I want to do with it, but that should be out hopefully by the end of November. We have that to look forward to. It's not exactly ghosts, but it's paranormal and weird, and I don't know, what is a ghost? I think it's being brought by someone from the other side, so we'll find out what the numerologists have to say about that. And also, thank you all for sticking by at me during this transition period with the podcast. I miss Beth, and it's really sad, but I really do love this show and making it and being spooky and going out there and the community that we have with all of you guys. So thank you so much for all the support everyone's kind of given, saying goodbye to Beth, wishing her well, and also telling me that you're still going to listen. I really appreciate it. So some of the stuff we have to look forward to, just to give everyone a little sneak peek about what's to come on the show. This month, I do have some ghost hunts planned, different people around spooky Massachusetts. I also have some people coming in to guest host the show with me throughout the end of the year, so it won't just be me sitting alone in this room talking to myself. And yeah, so again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for sticking with the show. I can't tell you how much it means to know that there's this community all over the country and different parts of the world who love being spooky and love sharing everyone's stories and hearing everyone's stories as much as I love hearing everyone's stories. It's just great. So thank you. And on that note, I think it's time to close this episode out. So as always, you can reach me online at ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, which doesn't really get updated that much. So a better option would be to go like our page on Instagram, Ghost Hunting in New England, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland, Twitter @ghosthuntingNE. Please follow us on Twitter. We have like no Twitter followers. It's really embarrassing. So So if you guys could, that'd be really, really cool, and we really appreciate it. You can also send us an email, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. Please keep in mind, if I don't respond to your email, it means I didn't get it. Please resend it, or shoot me a message on Instagram telling me to check my spam folder. You can also send a carrier pigeon to beautiful, sunny Somerville, Massachusetts, where we record here at the Somerville Media Center. Somerville Media Center makes it incredibly affordable for podcasts and creative people like myself to come in, to create, to follow our passions. They have radio here. They have podcasts. They have TV production. You can even just use the computers to use Photoshop or anything like that. And it's just, it's a really nice place. It's a really nice community. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. You can always check us out on Boston Free Radio at 10 p.m. on Wednesday night. And I think that's all I got for tonight. So thank you guys so much. Please be sure to tip your waitress. And as always, happy hunting.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.